This is another Knights of the Precious Blood podcast.
This talk is titled, From Fear to Faith, You Have to Get Out of the Boat to Walk on Water, and is presented by Yakov Perisher.
Good morning. I've got a lot of questions to ask. In fact, a lot of questions. The first question I have, what do you fear? What are you scared of? What are you afraid of? Is it your punitsa? Mother-in-law. Do you think Adam and Eve, Adam was the most happiest man because he had no mother-in-law? No. I'm serious. What do you fear in life? What scares you the most?
God.
Is it the next COVID variant? Is it sickness? Is it death? Is it judgment? Is it hell? Is it the devil or his demons? Is it God, perhaps? Are you scared of success? Scared of failure? Scared of what others may say or think about you? Are you scared of being alone? Scared of being rejected? Or scared of not being loved? Last year in December, we had a family holiday and we went to Hawaii. It was supposed to be a beach holiday. It rained every day. But it was great to be away. And before Christmas, we go on our Christmas confession. So I looked up the cathedral in Honolulu and we got on the bus and we went downtown in the rain. Confession started at 10 a.m. and we're there at 9:30. And we got in and there was about 50 people already waiting. And I found where I thought was the end of the line, and I said to the man there, big Hawaiian bloke, okay, is this where the line ends? He goes, yep. I said, wow, a lot of people, and sat down. There was one priest only. So we're there for about 2 hours before we had our confession. It was still raining heavy and the pew kept moving along as people went through. We get to the very end. This fella's in front of me. Next is his confession. He gets up, looks at me and says, I think I forgot to lock my car. I've got to go. Runs out the cathedral door. Door slams. Before I had the chance to grab him and say, it's okay, I'll mind your spot, he was gone. Didn't come back. What scared him? He was there for 2 hours. What was he afraid of? Just did the runner. This is my second question. If you're afraid, why are you afraid? Now, I'm not judging this guy. I don't know why he ran out. Maybe he thought his car was going to be stolen. Or maybe he was scared of confession. Maybe he was scared to receive God's love, to receive his mercy. I don't know. Who's ever been frightened or scared, even as a kid? Who remembers their parents trying to make them do things? Put the door guard, otherwise you get a shiver, you know? Whoever had that type of mentality, right? That's right. We as parents do that to our kids. You better be good otherwise. I think it's quite natural that we understand that that's how life kind of works in society at the moment. This is a true fact. Who knows that Croatians were used to scare people? In the 1600s, believe this, the Croatian army or mercenary soldiers were so well known and so well formed and good soldiers, their fame spread all across Europe. And the Germans and the Swedes, you can look this up, had a prayer. This is the prayer that they had. God save us from war, from the famine, from the plague, and from the Croats. It was a prayer that they would say every day, and their mothers will say to their kids, if you don't behave, the Croats will come and get you. And this was set up until the 1900s. I kid you not. So even Croatians were used to scare people. So we can see that fear has a way to control us, to make us do things. And this is my third question. So firstly, what are you afraid of? Why are you afraid? What do you do when you're afraid? What are your actions? In this context, I believe there are two types of Christians. The first type of Christians are those who act primarily out of fear, and the second group are those who act primarily in faith. Fear is to the devil what faith is to God. And if we're acting out of fear, we're essentially giving the devil permission to lead us, because after temptation is the primary way that he wants to control our actions, via fear. The devil is a liar and a deceiver. And if you believe in the lie, you empower the liar. So let me say that again. If you believe in the lies, you empower the liar. If we succumb to the scare tactics, then we are listening to the one who tries to scare us. Then we have God and faith in God, and he's the one who gives us that courage. He's the one who leads us, only if we take that first step in faith to let him lead us. And if we don't address this issue in our Christian life, we're not going to win the battle, because fear has a way of paralyzing us. Remember last night's talk about the stages of the spiritual life. When you're in fear, you're stagnant. You're not moving anywhere. You're stuck on the boat. You're in fear. So fear can blind us to reality. Now you might be saying, that's all very good. I'm not scared of nothing. I have no fear. If that's you, that's fantastic. I'm very happy. If you can wake up in the morning, look at the mirror, and you can say to yourself, I'm not scared of nothing, that's great. But I'll tell you now, there are many men who are scared, who are living in fear. How do I know? Because I'm one of them. And there are many men who are living in fear who don't know they're living in fear. And how do I know? Because I was one of them. Who's heard of Father Chad Ripperger, exorcist? He says that 95% of men are living in fear, despair, or some form of depression. If you don't believe him, believe the scripture. Scripture has Moses, Elijah, King David, the Virgin Mary, Saint Joseph, Saint Paul, the apostles, all living in fear at some point in time. The Virgin Mary, ever sinless, the greatest saint ever. That angel Gabriel had to tell her, Mary, do not be afraid. Saint Joseph, the greatest saint after Mary, the angel had to tell him in a dream, Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. So it's okay to experience fear. There's nothing wrong with that. But society tells us, you're a macho man, you shouldn't talk about fear. And it's false, because we pretend. So fear, they're all lies, it's all deception, and it leads us to sin. Whereas in faith, we trust in God, we live in the truth, and he gives us courage. But what's this truth that we're talking about? This is the quick little theology, not too much, because I know it bores you. This is straight from the catechism. Natural human fear. There are three types of fear. This is the first type of fear. We all experience this. Now, fear as an emotion is neither good or bad. What makes it good or bad is how we act or not act. So if this room is on fire and you see the flames and smell the smoke, what are you going to do? Are you going to push people down and run out? Or are you going to get everyone out safely, get the fire extinguisher, get the blanket, put the fire out? So fear demands a response, like any emotion. It's an action. And what we do makes the action good or bad. All right. But this is not the fear I'm talking about. Our church and the Bible has two more fears they talk about. The second one is fear of the Lord. Now, Andrew Wood spoke about this last night. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. And obviously we know what it is, but the action of fear of the Lord is makes us turning towards God, not away from him. So we think if we're scared of someone, we're fearful, we should be running away. No, we look at him. So this fear makes us look at God and go towards him. And the second fear is the spirit of fear. And guess who's the author of that? Right, your enemy. And he makes you, the action of this fear is to make you look away from God. Okay? It's very important you understand this. It's the action. So being scared is all right. It's not a problem. St. Francis de Sales says, we should not fear fear. In other words, do not be afraid to be afraid. It's okay. It's what you do that counts. And scripture verses. They say that the Bible has do not be afraid or do not fear 365 times. One for each day. It's actually not true. But it is stated throughout the Bible a lot. Probably over 100 times. So much so that God wants to draw our attention to it. It's very important. Why does he keep saying that? Who knows the first time that fear appeared in the Bible? Adam and Eve. So they sin, they take the fruit, and after that, God is looking for them. And you can look this up in Genesis. God is looking for them, and he's asking, calling out to Adam, where are you? And what does Adam say? I heard your voice, and I hid. I was naked, and I was afraid. For the first time in history, in humankind, fear enters into us. We're now scared of God. We're scared of his love. We're scared to say sorry. Fear has entered our humanity. I want to share with you seven ways that you might know if you're acting out of fear. Now, these are not from any textbook. These are not from the catechism. These are my personal experience. I see myself in every single one of these. And there's also things I've encountered with other men when I pray with them or talk to them about fear. So I want to offer this to you gently. Okay, this is not to judge anyone, and I see myself in every single one of these. Signs that you're living out of fear and holding onto the boat. I actually want to read some things out because I made some notes. Number one, you are angry and hypersensitive. You get offended easily. You are reactive and you get angry easily. People who are very sensitive and get angry easily often have underneath that anger, underneath that offense, some very, very deep wound or a very deep hurt which makes them afraid. They are scared to deal with the pain, so they lash out in anger, using it as a controlling mechanism. Number two, the excessive worrier. You are afraid of an event, the future, or even something that happened in the past. You are the doomsday type of bloke. Now, I have to build an underground bunker. Stockpile food for the zombie apocalypse. The devil puts all sorts of ideas and fear in your heart, in your head, that you lose focus on the here and now. You lack trust in God and his providence. You define yourself by your self-reliance and control strategies. The third sign is people-pleasing rather than God-pleasing. You may be living out of fear if you do everything you can to be liked by everyone. You go to lengths to make people hear you and understand and to make yourself look good in front of them. You're definitely defining yourself by their judgments of you and their love of you. And you're not secure in your identity. The fourth way is a fear of failure. This is a big one, especially for me. You do everything you can not to fail and not to be seen as a failure. You have a performance mentality. You feel unworthy of God's love if you sin or fail. That is, you're afraid of making a mistake, and so you try everything you can not to make a mistake or hide your mistakes or failing so others don't see them. You even hide from God and feel unworthy to approach him. You define yourself by your achievements, and this happens because you're living in fear. The fifth sign, and it's a fear of commitment. You are a what-if person. You can't commit to anything because what if I fail? What if I don't succeed? What if I do succeed?
What if I take this job and it doesn't go well? What happens if I propose and she says no? What if I share my faith in God with someone and they reject me? What if I pray for someone to be healed and they don't get healed? What if? This type of fear paralyzes you and you don't seem to complete anything you start because you're afraid of what may be and how you may be judged by your actions, so you just don't commit. The sixth sign is that you have a fear of rejection and are afraid to love. I want to gently offer this to you. You are living in fear when you avoid being all in your primary relationships. You avoid being all in your relationship with your wife. You avoid being all in your relationship with your children. You avoid being all in your relationship with God. You tend to hedge your bets. You have one foot on the boat and the other one trying to step out of the boat. You build a protective wall of stone around your heart and you are afraid of getting hurt or being seen as weak or vulnerable, and you don't want your loved ones to know the real you. And lastly, the seventh sign, you have a fear of forgiving. That is, you have unforgiveness in your heart and you are wounded. You won't forgive and blame everyone else for your problems. You feel like you were a victim. You blame the system, you blame your wife, you blame your children, you blame your parents. You blame the church and you blame God and the government. Everyone is the cause of your problems except yourself. You always live in the past, to the event that wounded you or to the person that hurt you. And you just replay that over and over again. But I believe that God wants to release you all from this bondage this weekend. This is my prayer for you, that you move from fear to faith. And if I can say this, hurting people hurt people. So hurting people hurt people. But brothers, this is the result of this type of fear. Fear-based thinking has you stuck on the boat moving away from God. And think about the apostles, think about the courage in the storm, our theme picture. They're paralyzed on the boat. They can't move forwards. But there's good news. Fear-based thinking is not part of God's plan. This is really good news. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I want you to take all your fears with you onto the boat. If you know them, take them with you. I know Emil's going to do a great Lectio Divina later this afternoon. I'm not going to do a Lectio Divina, but I want you to image yourself. Put yourself in the boat with your fear, and we're going to look at this scripture passage from St. Paul. So if God is not the author of the spirit of fear, and he gives us power, and he gives us love and of a sound mind, that means the enemy will give us the opposite. So what does the enemy do? God's not powerful. He's not going to help you. He's not strong anymore. This scene with the apostles is not the first time they were in the boat with Jesus in a storm. Remember the first time? And they said, who is this man? Even the wind and the seas obey him. So he sends them out again, and they don't trust in his power, even though before they saw his power. So we've lost the trust in the power of God in our lives. You know, in just after World War II, I think it was St. Pius XII said that the greatest work of the devil in that age was that we've lost the awareness of sin. Who's heard of that? Yeah. This is my opinion. I think that the greatest work of the devil, especially amongst Catholics, is that he's made us not trust in the power of God. He's made us think that God's not powerful anymore. We have to trust him. Who flew here this weekend? Where's Damien from Adelaide? Where is he? Put your hand up. Yeah. Do you know the pilot's name who flew you?
Sorry?
Do you know the pilot's name? The guy who flew you here?
No.
No? Don't know him?
Never saw him.
And you trusted that he could fly you here? Yeah. Who's had a burger in the last month or two? Anyone? Anyone? Come on, you had a burger, yeah? Do you know the name of the person who made your burger?
No.
Did they get their meat from Dunnicker Small Goods? You don't know. And you ate the burger. Brothers, what happened to Mass this morning? In front of those hands was Jesus, was our God. We worshipped him, then we consumed him. He's now in us. We know him. We know his name. He knows you. We trust the world more than we trust God. Second point, love. What does the devil say? God doesn't love you. He doesn't care for you. You're just a number. No one. He doesn't know about you. Of course God cares for you. God knows each and every one of you. Every single hair on your head has been counted, even the bald guys. You are so individual to God, he loves you individually, that there's no other way that it can be repeated ever again in history. You've got to believe and trust in God's love for you. The devil will try to say to you, God doesn't care about you. In fact, it's the opposite. And the third thing is sound mind. What does the devil do? It makes you despair. It makes you anxious. It makes you worried. It makes you have a panic attack. That's what he does.
Makes you feel insecure.
Insecure. Fantastic. Thank you, Carson. So you see, the devil makes everything upside down. Right? That's how he works.
Master of deceit.
Correct. So this is important that we know that the spirit of fear does not come from God. And the spirit of fear makes us turn away from God. We have to trust God again. You see, because when we don't, we're stuck on that boat. And you can't step off the boat when you're stuck in fear. You just can't. We're not meant to be stuck on the boat. We're meant to walk on the water, to have a supernatural life with God. How do you know what your boat is? When you're living in fear, the first thing that happens to you, the first action that you do, that's your boat. Everyone's got a boat. I'm not talking about the boat that's parked on your trailer or the one that's in the harbour. I'm talking about the boat that paralyses you, that makes you not move up that ladder closer to God. What paralyses you? In fear. And when we hold on the boat, we're relying on our own strategies, our human self-reliance, and not on God. I want to offer you some remedies to help you step out of the boat, and then we'll finish up. The very first thing, the moment that you first start to experience any fear, turn straight to God and ask him, acknowledge the fear. Say, God, I'm scared of this. What do you say? Where does this come from? Jesus, what do? I want to give this fear to you. Speak the truth to me so I know what the truth is. It's the very first thing you do. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus straight away, because if you don't, you're going to sink. We all know the story. The second one, live in the moment. Remember that the devil doesn't want you to live now. Grace is available now. He wants you to live in the past, to an event or unforgiveness, or he wants you to live in the future, or you're scared or worried about tomorrow. Live the now. This is where grace is available to you, right now. Because if you're living in the past or in the future, you're not living now, you're not focused on God. And this is the third one. I want to gently offer this to you. Not many men want to go here. Allow God to take you to your fear in your life and pray for healing. You can ask him. You can say, God, I'm scared of this. Why? Show me where it started. Show me where I got hurt. Show me where the trauma first began. Show me. I've prayed with a lot of people about this over the last couple of years. I've seen God do amazing things in people's lives. If only you want to take him there. He doesn't force himself upon you. All right, last slide. Courage. Father Wallace is going to give us great talks on courage later today. But I want to just talk a little bit about courage. Back to that question. Can you have courage if there is no fear? They asked Thomas Aquinas this, and he said no. They're not mutually exclusive. You need to have courage despite your fear. Fear may never go away in your life, but you've got to trust and look in God, and He gives you the courage to step forward out of the boat. And you hear those words from Jesus, do not be afraid, take courage, it is I. That's why the scripture always has, do not be afraid, do not be afraid. It's okay to be afraid, but don't act out of fear. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. All right, Croatian men, if ever our homeland, our faith, or our families were attacked by the Ottoman Turks, who would get up and fight with me? Put your hand up. Would you fight? Yeah, of course you would. We'd all fight. If the communists were back pushing us and our families again, would we fight back? Yes, we would. Now, don't put your hand up for this one. Which man has the courage tonight to spend 1 hour with Jesus in adoration? Not many men. Which man has the courage tonight to go on his knees and go to confession? To confess, I need you, God, in humility. I'm scared of this and I do these wrong things. Who has that courage? Not many men. Who has the courage to call their kids and wife and family and say, we're going to kneel down and pray the rosary together now? Who has that type of courage? Not many men. Who has the courage to stop looking at pornography but look at his wife as a gift from God in all her beauty? Who has that type of courage? Not many men. Who has the courage to stop flicking through their stupid dumb phone and being fed by the worldly things, but rather flick through scripture or a spiritual book and to have a steady diet of God's word? Who has that type of courage? Not many men. That's a courage that we need. Now, some of you may be scared of the devil. And I want to tell you this. The devil's afraid of you. And you've got to believe that. So a quick story before I wrap up. Who's heard of St. John Vianney? So St. John Vianney did battle with the devil almost every night for a long time. One morning he gets up to have a drink of water, 3 o'clock in the morning or so. He goes into the kitchen and he sees the devil sitting on his couch. And he just walks past and gets his drink of water. And the devil says to him, well, aren't you afraid? And John Vianney laughs and goes, no, it's you who are afraid of me. Because I'm a baptized Christian, you're afraid of me. So he traces a sign of the cross on every door and every window. And he starts praising God. And the devil's now trapped and furious, he can't get out. He begs him, let me go. Notice he didn't say, I'm a priest. He said, I'm a baptized Christian. Every single one of you is a baptized Christian. And you've got to believe that the devil is afraid of you. He's afraid of you because you have the mark of Christ in you. You're baptized. And Jesus is in you. We consumed him this morning. He's in you. And that's what gives you courage to step forward in faith. So brothers, step out of the boat. You're meant to live on the water. Two things will happen with you if you step out of the boat. You'll walk with Jesus, or if you start to sink, he'll grab you. You're safe either way. So that's my prayer for you today, that you would walk from fear to faith. Have the courage. Itako neka bude. Amen.
For more great content from the Knights of the Precious Blood, visit our website, www.kofpb.org.